Amen, and good morning to all of you. We're so glad that you're here. See what happens when you take a week off? You can't even talk anymore. Glad that you're here worshiping and celebrating with us. Man, we have such a special and amazing day today. It is Baptism Sunday. Today we have, I think today it's 9 people getting baptized at the end of service. So we're excited about that. We're going to take care of that at the end of service. Typically at this time is where we do our prayer and praise, but because of the amount of baptisms, man, we are going to focus on praising today, people's bold commitments of faith. Before we dive into this, since we kind of didn't do the normal prayer and praise time, I will just quickly encourage you, hey, at this time, throughout the rest of the service, make sure you're filling out your prayer and praise card. But I also want to take a minute right now just to pray before we get into God's word. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for another amazing day to be in your presence, to be with your people. And God, we are believing right now that your word is going to speak and your spirit is going to move. And so I just pray that we would open our hearts and minds to hear you and to move to action, to follow where you are leading. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, last week I was out. Me and my family, we took a little vacation up north, North Georgia, and it was cold. I heard it was cold down here. Yeah? You guys were cold? Were you? Was it 5 degrees? No, it was 5 degrees one time when I was like, what do I do with that? How does my body even process 5? I'm a Florida boy, so thank you for that. Oh, yeah. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and just crack that open and take a little sip. And so that it was fun. We had a wonderful time doing that. We didn't get to see snow, but apparently it snowed in some parts of Florida. So I have to leave. Anyway, it was kind of weird. But my kids, they went outside and they found these giant icicles that were forming. And at one point, one of my kids came in with both of them just like this. They're like, look, we found icicles. And I'm like, it's terrifying. What are you going to do with those things? We had a good time, and we're thankful that we were able to do that, and thankful that Paul, our new youth pastor, got an opportunity to come and share. You got to hear a little bit about his story. Amazing story of bold faith, right, of going and seeing what God does, and so we're thankful for all of that, and I'm thankful for Paul in doing that, but I'm glad to be back. We've been in our series, To Boldly Go, and as we kick this thing off, beginning of the year, we kind of started, I gave our church 2 words to focus on, to gather and build. And so we talked about gathering together so that we can build up and so that we continue to go towards the future, which kind of led into our series, To Boldly Go, which at the end of the day, we're going through Nehemiah, but what we're talking about is the next steps for the future of Kairos. As we grow, as we look to the future, we are feeling that God is calling us to buy our own property and build our own building. And so the second week of this series, I talked about a bold request. In order for us to do this, there's a lot that has to take place. And wouldn't you know it, it costs money. And so I'm not really going to talk a lot about this today. I wanted to kind of just show you it. If you missed any of those talks, I talk in depth about some of these things. Not last week, but the 2 weeks before that. I'll go back and just give that a listen about what we're doing. But I wanted to show you. You can put that first slide up. And so this is what we're kind of going after. This is the bold request. We're bringing this series all the way through to March 2nd. On March 2nd, it's going to be Pledge Sunday, and we're asking a bold ask of $300,000 in one-time gifts that day, and then commitments of in 3 years of $700,000, which would ultimately get us to about $1 million, which would secure the property for us. Again, I talked in depth about those things. And then the third week of this series, I gave you guys a lot of information about our giving, about our projections, about our attendance, about the cost, about all the things. And I talked about how, and sometimes we get this information, sometimes it can lead to confidence as well as doubt, and how we need to balance that out with the faith in God. If he's calling us to do it, then he will see it done. And so that's what we're believing, that's what we're going after. And we're looking at Nehemiah's story as we process all of this in our lives. Oh, before I get into our message today, tonight is the first Sunday. At the beginning of the year, I said, hey, God's been something on my heart to have like a Bible discussion, a Bible study on Sunday nights. And I pressed against it a little bit, but I brought it to you guys. And you guys said you wanted it. So we're going to do it. And it's starting tonight. Bible study with Pastor Brent, further known as BS with PB. And you can join me for that tonight. And I would encourage you, if you come into that, take notes today. Man, write down some of the things that God reveals to you, any questions that you might have, because again, it's a discussion. I didn't want to add another service where I just get up here and talk. I wanted to have open discussion about the things of God. I'd love for you to join me in that. All right, Nehemiah. So we start, Nehemiah has this burden. Right, he's got this burden, and then he does the inspection, and he goes, and he gathers all this information, and he gets to work, then casting vision and bringing other people alongside him in the work. Let me just share with you Nehemiah 2, verse 17, verse 18, before we get into the meat of what we're going to talk about. It says this: "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned down. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we no longer may be a disgrace." I told them how the gracious hand of God had been on me and what the king had said to me, and they said, "Let's start rebuilding." And they were encouraged to do his work. And so what he says, he says, here's the need. Here's what's happening. I've inspected. I've got this plan. And he goes, who's going to join me in the work? Who's going to come alongside me? He knows God called him to this. And he knows God will be there with him, but he also knows that God's not going to have him do it alone, and so he needs people next to him. And this is where I get really excited, because this is one of my favorite chapters in Nehemiah. It's Nehemiah chapter 3. I call it the next to chapter, okay? And you'll see this phrase, next to, in different variations. You can go ahead and put that the slide up. I'm going to get ready to read it in just a minute. You'll see the phrase next to, and I did some highlighting and variations, because you see next to, and you see beside them, and you see after him. If you look at the Hebrew here, it's all the same. Same word used, just different variations of it. And so this is the power of next to. And all throughout, you just see that people start rebuilding, and next to them, next to them, next to them. And there's a whole 32 verses of next twos. I'm going to read them all to you right now. And it's one of those things you read through and you go, man, this is a lot of information to just say, and everyone got together and did their part to build the wall, right? And it's like one verse, it's done, go to the next chapter. But it's very, very important, all that's taking place here. And so let me just read some of it to you and butcher some of these names. Okay, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests began rebuilding. The men of Jericho built next to him, and next to them, Zakur built, and next to them, Meremoth. Hey, if you're looking for a baby name, there's some good ones in here. Next to him, Meshullam, and next to them, Zadok. And beside them, the Tekoites made repairs. And next to them, the repairs were done by Melatiah, Jaden, and the men of Gibeon and Mizpah. After him, Uzziel, the goldsmith, made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, son of the perfumer, made repairs. And next to them, Rephaiah, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. And it goes on, and there are other names in there. Go to the next slide, because that's not it. There's another one. It keeps going. Verse 18 goes through, and you see after them, beside them. And one of the things, you probably saw it in there, there were underlined things. And what you begin to see in this is that there were many different people from many different walks of life. So you have the high priest, you have Levites, you have priests, you have guards, you have rulers of different districts, you have goldsmiths, you have blacksmiths, you have children of these men coming together to do this. And this is why I love this, because all these peoples of all these professions are coming together to rebuild and strengthen Jerusalem. So it's every person from every walk of life, every profession, every level of income pitched in. Some in small ways, many in small ways, a few in medium ways, and then a handful in large ways. They gathered together, yes, to build up the walls. This is what they were doing, they were going after. But you know, within this, there was this community where they got together and they strengthened one another and they encouraged one another in the mission that God had them on. And what I love most about this story is who it started with. Nehemiah, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. What was he? He was a cupbearer to a foreign king. Sets out, right? Through boldness and this burden, he sets out and he goes from being a cupbearer to being a governor to being a kingdom builder. And along the way, he encouraged people to join him in his mission. So cupbearer started all of this. And I was thinking about this and Kairos' journey. And some of you know, but all of this, Kairos started because a tech nerd gamer decided to preach God's word one day. And it was this phenomenal calling, and I said yes to ministry, and I said yes to youth ministry, and to teach God's word, and ultimately I said yes to planting a church. And along the way, man, God has sent people alongside me, next to me, to build up this body of believers. People from all different walks of life. Stay-at-home moms, repair techs, graphic designers, interior designers, realtors, coders, teachers, full-time students, attorneys, assistants, farmers, CPAs, firemen, police officers, you name it. All people of all throughout our years have come alongside to stand next to my wife, myself, and our staff to see what God is doing. And so it's so encouraging me, because here's what it is. No matter where you find yourself in life, you are called to boldly step into what God is doing and how God is moving, to boldly step into the future of what God desires for your life, but also for the life of your church family. And I believe the greatest way to encourage and strengthen the church and one another is by gathering together, right? Next to one another to build up personal and collective, our collective faith. It's so important. And I think that's one of the church's roles. Our role is to create opportunities for you to make connections and then cultivate connections. First and foremost, yes, to Jesus, but also to one another. And we do this in varying ways. Like, we have our Sunday worship experience. We have two of those. You can come and you get to eat donuts with people and drink coffee and worship together. And we do that, but you don't get connected to everybody. And so, you know, we encourage a few other things. You'll get involved in serving and you'll find like-minded people. And then we say, you know, if you know, there's another layer of it where you can go to a crew and go to a class and you can get to learn and grow and be discipled together. And then you can join our brotherhood ministry. We had our first brotherhood ministry meeting of the year on Friday night. We did a bonfire. It was an awesome time. We had a little bit over 20 guys there. We were just talking about, man, our desire to do exactly this, to create connections, but not just create them once a month, but to cultivate connections throughout the week, throughout the month. And so that's something we're looking to. And I would encourage you, if you've never been, I would encourage you to come one Friday of the month. It's what it is. It's the fourth Friday of every month. Come and join us. Come make connections, cultivate connections. Another way is through our prayer and praise cards. But we create these connections so that you can cultivate them. And it's very, very important. So I think in order for us to boldly go, right, to the future, to see what God is doing, we must continually encourage and strengthen one another to remain steadfast in our pursuit of Jesus. It's so important on an individual level, but also on a collective level. Right, we come together and we pray for one another and we serve with one another and we worship together and we got to do these things. And all of it is so that we stay focused on Jesus, so we don't lose our way. And so from Sunday to Sunday, we serve next to one another. And we pray next to one another, and we worship next to one another, and we disciple, and we learn, and we cry, and we grieve, and we hurt, and we laugh, and rejoice. We do it next to one another. Now, in all of this, you know this, not everyone will be directly next to everyone else. I can't be next to everyone here, and some of you are like, thank goodness, I don't want him all in my business, you know what I'm saying? And so that's why we create these connections, because you're gonna get together with like-minded people who have been through something you've been through, can help you go through something that you're going through now, and we want to give you opportunities to step next to somebody so that you can hopefully find your next twos, and you can begin to work at cultivating those relationships. And so here's something to think about. Who are your next twos at Kairos Church? Who here have you made connections with? Have you begun cultivating relationships with? I mean, as you bring those people to mind, just think about how that connection was formed. Think about what took place. Think about how you had to step out. Think about how you had to get uncomfortable. And then consider, okay, I did that and I made that connection. Well, what am I doing to continue to cultivate that connection and strengthen that connection and maintain that? Am I doing my part or not? Do I have to maybe reach out and do a little bit better? And then you go, okay, well, I'm thankful that I found this connection and I have someone else that's next to me, but there's a good chance that there's someone sitting in this room that they're struggling to find who they're next to in this church. And maybe, just maybe, they're waiting for you to reach out to them, to invite them, to encourage them, to pray for them. Because we all need somebody. And if that's you today, you say, I'm struggling to bring those people to mind. Well, I would say to you, man, maybe you need to take a step today towards making that connection so that you can begin to cultivate it. Now, the other thing is this, is we all have a friendship capacity. We can't be friends to everyone. We can't be there for everyone. We can't reach out to everyone. And I think this is the beauty of the church, that God brings people in so that we can connect to different people in the church. We won't always connect with everybody, but we will be next to somebody. And we want someone next to us. And it's so important that we have those people in our lives. So let's work. Let's work at bringing people next to us and being next to others. And then make sure that we continually strengthen those connections that we have begun forming. That's the second part of this. This is very important. You got to understand and see that there are people next to you. And you want to have people next to you. But the other thing is that you want to continue to strengthen that. And so this is another word that I want to focus on. We talked about the next twos, but the other one that shows up more than next to is this word repair or repairs. And this word in the Hebrew is hazak. It's a fun word, hazak. And here's what it means: to strengthen, to support, to repair, to retain, to hold up, to sustain. This word has deep meaning. Now, we know in Nehemiah 3, what are they doing? They're coming together to rebuild the walls, but is it just about the walls? No, it's not just about the walls. It's not just about rebuilding the walls. It's about coming together as a community of God's people to strengthen and encourage one another to see what God is going to do. This is what we talk about, gathering together to build up so that we can encourage and strengthen, right? Hazak, our church community and our relationships. And so, as a church, we want to help people embrace Jesus. That's our vision. That's who, helping everyone embrace Jesus in every moment of their life. We want to do that, and that's our main mission. But we also want to make sure at the same time we are connecting people to other people, that you are embracing relationships with others to do this life together with. It's not one or the other. It's both and. Connecting to Jesus and connecting to other people to connect them to Jesus. And so we, at the end of the day, we each have a bold role to play in this, a bold role in helping strengthen the church. And, you know, in this series, we're talking about a financial role. That's a part of it. Absolutely, that's a part of it. Not just in our campaign, but every single week when it comes to the tithes. But for each and every one of us, we need to boldly give according to the blessings and the burden that God has put in our heart. And everyone, again, we all come from different walks of life, but that comes down to you and God and what that means. But it's so much more than just financial. Because at the end of the day, maybe this is just my opinion, you can throw as much money as you want at a church, but if people aren't growing closer to Jesus and growing closer to one another, it's going to be shallow and empty and not growing in the way that God wants. So it can't just be about money. So that means our role, not only is it a financial thing, it's more so emotional and it's spiritual, where we come alongside one another to pray with one another, to serve one another, to lead one another. And we see this happening in our kids' ministry, and we see this in our youth ministry, and we see this in varying ways throughout our ministries, and we see it in our brotherhoods, and that's what we are desiring to do. The continued health and growth of the church this year, next year, 5 years from now, will require each of us to step into the role that God has called us into for this church. It's no coincidence that you're here. Whether it's your first time, your second time, your 50th time, God called you here when he called you here for the season that he called you in. And there's something he has for you. Yes, to fill you up. Yes, to encourage you. Yes, to deepen your relationship with Jesus, but he's also saying, listen, what I have for you, I'm going to use you to help connect to others so that they can also meet me, come to know me, and embrace me. And so you got to understand that and realize that and see that. And so we all have a role to play. And so I want to give you kind of three important aspects to kind of stepping into that bold role that God is calling you into. And it's all going to talk about this strengthening, this hazak. And so the first one is that we would strengthen our relationships. Deepen, continue to work on and deepen your connection with God. That's first and foremost, that's priority. But also continue to work on and strengthen your relationship with others. How do you strengthen your relationship with God? Simple answer, spend time with God. Same is true for, you know, our relationship with people. Spend time with people. Well, how do we spend time with people? I think you know this, and I know this, but maybe sometimes we just need a reminder. You want to spend time with God, spend time in His Word. Everything you need to know about Him, that you can know about Him, you can find right here. And He'll reveal new things to you as you continue to study Him. And you'll be like, I read, you know, John chapter 1 87 times. Well, the 88th time, you're going to learn something new about God. You spend time with God in His Word, and you spend time with God in prayer, and you spend time with God in worship. And that is a daily thing. And then we know throughout the New Testament, God brings people together to collectively worship Him, to pray to Him, and to learn about Him. And so that's a part of spending time with God. It's weekly answering any burden or calling that He puts on your life. Yes, it comes into serving the church, doing as Jesus did and meeting those needs wherever God calls you. But then it goes beyond just the church. Maybe God's calling you to foster, to adopt, to serve in a homeless ministry, to start a homeless ministry, financial help with somebody, emotional help, counseling, whatever it may be. God has something for you. And as you step into the things that God calls you to, guess what? You spend time with Him. And you get to learn who He is because you begin to trust in Him and rely on Him and see Him work and move in ways in your life that are beyond anything that you ever imagined. Spend time with God. That's how you strengthen your relationship with Him. And the same is true with others. We gotta make time for others. And I think in this day and age, it's harder to do, and there's more distractions. But it's simple things, right? A text, a phone call. When someone comes to your mind, don't wait, don't put it off. Just reach out to them. Maybe it's just going out to coffee once a week. Maybe it's taking someone to dinner, to lunch. And in those moments, you need to catch up. And then you also take time to pray with one another. This goes beyond our crews, and we're setting up crews. I'm just talking about individually meeting with people to pray, to study God's word, and to worship together. But it's finding that time. It's making that time. It's prioritizing your time. And I know it's hard. But if we're too busy for others, then maybe we're too busy to live out the gospel of God. Because Jesus was all about others. He was all about serving others, caring for others, helping others, being with others, spending time with others, all of it. And that's our call as well. So you can't truly love God without being just compelled or having a burden to come alongside other people, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to help them in whatever they are going through. So, first part, focus on strengthening your relationship with God, and then focus on like beginning and strengthening your relationship with others. The second thing, you want to strengthen your leadership. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is really talking about expanding our capacity in many different ways. Our capacity to serve, our capacity to lead. You know, it's taking these next steps, pursuing God and the things He calls us to. And as you expand your capacity and you get alongside other people, it's going to empower them to do the same. So you see how this cycle happens. You step out and you encourage someone else to step out. And as your capacity expands, you encourage someone else alongside you to expand their capacity as well. We're Jesus followers, right? If we've given ourselves and we recognized Him as Lord and Savior of our life, that He died on the cross, then we are Jesus followers. And so first and foremost, what are we called to do? Follow. And so that's the call, follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, you should naturally become more like Jesus. And as you become more like Jesus, guess what's going to happen? Then you're going to lead people to Jesus. So you see how it happens? You follow first. You become more like Him. And then it's just going to naturally happen that you begin to lead people to Jesus. So to boldly go, first we have to boldly follow. If you want to lead something, you got to follow first. Some people just step right into leadership and they've never followed before and they don't really understand. In the following part, you know what the biggest part of the following is? Submitting to someone else's will and control in your life. That's the hardest part.
Everyone wants control, but I think you need to relinquish it before you can ever have the role of leadership in your life, and you relinquish that to Jesus. So we follow, and then we lead. We lead others to follow. And as this takes place, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to get uncomfortable. You just are. Because stepping into leadership, expanding your capacity, it will require you to get uncomfortable in some way as you step into the role that God has for you, for the people in your life, and for this church. When we stay comfortable, we get complacent and we get idle. Can I tell you something? That's exactly where the enemy wants you. He doesn't want you to start backsliding or moving in the wrong direction, because if you start doing that, then maybe someone will see it and they'll pull you out of it. Or maybe you'll say, oh man, I'm going in the wrong direction. I don't want to. And so the enemy will say, hey, just sit comfortable in the faith that you have, but don't grow in it. Don't step out. Because then you start stepping out and then you start reaching more people and he starts losing ground. And so he says, you know, if God says you got to get uncomfortable, and the enemy says, I just want to keep you right here in your safe zone, in your comfort zone, thinking that, you know, you're good. You don't need to worry about anything or anyone else. And that's just not the gospel. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. He wants you in your comfort zone. You want to step out of that? You want to expand your capacity? You're going to have to take a bold step, and it's a bold step of faith. So, what bold role do you feel God calling you into? What bold role have you been ignoring? I got time. Okay, so when I first got the call, I kind of hinted at it earlier, maybe you've heard my story, but when I started in youth ministry, or started in ministry, I started in the presentation area. I was over the cameras and the lights, and I did graphic and web design. That was me, behind the scenes guy, okay? At the same time, I was serving in youth ministry, just being a goofy guy with the teens. I had fun, played video games, it was great, and I taught them about Jesus too. But I was serving in youth ministry, and then I went to this retreat, and I heard just very specifically from God, preach my word. And I'm going, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, because you don't know the people are back there unless something goes wrong. Everyone look back there and wave. Look at them, look at them. Ha, see, they're all looking at you. You know, the lyrics aren't right. The lights aren't right. There's too much haze. But, you know, it's a little loud. What are they doing back there, right? But otherwise, it's, you know, they're doing their thing, and it's operating, and it's great. And so God says, I want you to go from back there to up here. And I got the call. And you want to know what I said? No. Honestly, I remember wrestling, like, I'm not qualified for that. I didn't go to school for that. Excuse me? You know, and so I remember just pushing against it, probably for a good 3 or 4 months. And I was just like, I can't. But God did not relent. He said, this is my call on your life. And lo and behold, the youth pastor of the time, he got a calling to plant the church. And I remember them just kind of going through and beginning the process. And this is a call on my life. And I went to my pastor and my executive pastor. And I said, I think God's calling me to step into this role to preach God's word. I think maybe, I was talking to someone after last service, I think maybe secretly I was just hoping they would say no, you know, it's all right. But they said yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, these people are crazy. All right, let's do this thing. I share all that to say, like, sometimes we're hesitant. We know God's put the calling on our life, and we feel this burden, but man, there's all these things that we try to talk ourselves out of it, and we make these excuses, and we say, well, I'm not. And God goes, don't worry, I don't need you to be, because I'm enough. And we step into it, and we see God work and move. So what's the bold role that you can step into? Let me put it this way. What portion of Kairos Church is God calling you to strengthen? Because there are areas where you're needed. There are areas where, man, there is maybe a void, or there is something missing, or there are areas where you can come along and say, I can strengthen this part of this ministry so that we can continue to do what God has called us to do in reaching people for Jesus. You have a role to play. Third and final thing, you got to strengthen what you started. And this is staying committed to the work God has placed before you. You know, year over year as a church, we've continually had to make changes. Different things have happened. There have been different seasons. There have been transitions. There's been catastrophes. There's been, COVID and all these things. And we continue to look, okay, is what we did 5 years ago still working? Do we need to shift things? Do we need to change things? Do we want to continue to grow? Do we need to cut it off? Is it aligned with God's will? What are we doing? And so you can't start something and then just hope that it will continue to grow and thrive without your involvement. You have to stay involved in it. And so this is so important in every aspect of our life. If you begin a relationship with Jesus, it's going to require a daily pursuit of Jesus. You want to strengthen relationships with others? It's a weekly investment. In your new business that you started, don't give up. In your new job that you just undertook, keep working hard. In your diet, see the progress. Sometimes we focus on how we've not progressed, but see the progress. In your marriage, continue to pursue and date your spouse. In your fight against temptation or addiction, continue to remain steadfast. Continue to resist. Continue to have people hold you accountable in your commitment to volunteer, to be a moment maker, and be consistent. Think about the impact that you're having. Maybe you don't even know. Can I encourage you? You are having a tremendous impact. Sometimes I tell this to youth leaders all the time. Sometimes the hardest thing to see in youth ministry is the impact that you're having. And you just think you're doing this for nothing. And then, 3 or 4 years later, you get a text. And the kids just say, thank you for showing me grace and love and kindness. I know I wasn't the best, but you served consistently. You're having an impact. And so I wanted to encourage you in that. In all of this, the things that we start, know this. Improving upon what you started, it doesn't have to fall just solely on you. God doesn't expect you to just be the one to carry the load by yourself. He's probably already put people around you. They're going to be next to you to strengthen you, to help you, to encourage you. Don't keep them at arm's length. Bring them into whatever it is. Reach out. Be vulnerable. Trust somebody to help you in whatever it is. And God will see you through the rest of the way. I figured out a long time ago, I can't do this without God or without God's people. We all need each other. You know, Jerusalem's wall was rebuilt because a cupbearer stepped out and said yes. And he brought other people alongside him. Kairos, where God brought us today, where he's calling us, it happened because myself, my wife, my family, and many, 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 many other people boldly stepped out. They got uncomfortable, started serving God, and they started serving God's people. And there was hardship and there was trials, but we continued to strengthen and encourage one another. And in that, we expanded our capacity. We continued to reach people with the gospel, and we continue to see growth here today. God is working and moving. And my prayer is that everyone will step into the bold role that God has called you. Church, would you join me for a word of prayer? God, today, first and foremost, I pray that all of us would recognize and praise you and thank you for the people that you've put next to us. We know they're not perfect. We know there are times that they fail us. At the end of the day, we know that they got our back if we reach out. God, I pray for the people that, and thank you for the people that you've put us next to, and the ways you've called us and expanded our capacity. God, we need each other. And so in all of this, and I would encourage you right now to pray about those relationships, the ones that God has brought next to you. How can you strengthen them? How can you cultivate them? And then begin thinking about how you can step out to begin to form create and cultivate new relationships that God is calling you to create. And then lastly, I know I talked about it a lot, but and if you feel that tug, if you feel that burden, if you feel that call, I would just encourage you today to boldly step into it. God, we thank you today for just this reminder from Nehemiah and from the people of Jerusalem, the reminder of what church is. It's about next twos, about strengthening and encouraging one another, being a community of believers who's pursuing your son Jesus to become more like him so that we can help other people embrace him in their life. Thank you for this church community. Thank you for the people that have helped get us here. And thank you for the people that you've sent us today and those that you'll send to this church tomorrow to continue to do the mighty work of kingdom building here in our community. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.